Well, welcome. It's great to have you here with us in the West venue and those over in the East venue and those that are on our online stream today. Great to have you with us as well. Today we are concluding a series we started 3 weeks ago at the beginning of November. We're calling it Do-Over. Why? Because God is a do-over God. God is a God who says, you know, if you don't get it right the first time, I'll give you another chance. And then when we don't do it right the second time, he goes, okay, I'll give you another chance. And he just keeps going over and over. And I am so thankful because whether it's raising your kids, whether it's marriage, whether it's your finances, your job ethics, anything like that, whenever we just mess things up, God goes, okay, do over, try it again. I just love that. You know, for some, it's like, you know, we need one or two do-overs. You know, for me, it's like 50. And that's just the way it is. I mean, we mess up sometimes, but God is always a do-over God for us. And what we've been talking about over the last few weeks is, first of all, we talked about less is more. And what we talked about the first week is that in our culture, in the United States, people have so much stuff. You know, I know it's not you, it's probably those other people. They got so much stuff that they don't know what to do with it. So they just shove it into closets and every space they can find, and then they're in their walk-in closet, in the attic, in the garage. So the cars now are out on the street, and all this junk is in the garage. And then when we run out of stuff in the home, we're going, let's just get a storage unit, or six of them, or however much stuff you have. And if you're like almost on hoarders, it's going to be like probably 10 of them. But this is what happens. America has so much of stuff, and we're spending good money on storage units to keep stuff that we don't even look at or care about. But yet we just can't get it out of here. And what we talked about in the first week is that we talked about when we have so much clutter and so much stuff, it clutters up our heart, our soul, and our mind. But when we clean those things out, it kind of frees up our heart and soul and mind. And so the first week we talked about less is more. And we talked about how do we get rid of these things? How do we actually honor God by doing that? Second thing we talked about the second week was stress is bad, specifically financial stress is bad. Because if you have ever been in financial stress, you have had very, very difficult situations where you don't know if you're going to pay the rent or whatever. But when you are married, it goes up even higher. Because usually in a marriage, one is a saver, one is a spender. And what happens is that financial stress, it just gets to you. And that's the number one thing that married people fight about is finances. And so we talked about how financial stress is bad that second week. And how can we, instead of when we're married, instead of it pulling us apart, how can we come together and just chip away at this mountain of debt? And so that was some of the things we talked about on week two. Week three, last week, we talked about giving is good. And we looked at a verse in the book of Acts that says, it is better to give than to receive. It's better to give. And some of us are, you know, with this holidays coming up going, no, it's better to receive. And God's going, no. Jesus says, it's better to give than to receive. And we talked about that last week. And then today we're going to conclude with talking about tomorrow matters. Now, if you've been here the last few weeks, what we've been talking about is that we put these in this order for a reason, because this is the way we have to learn these things and to apply that. So even though we're ending the series today, I want you in each of our venues and those even on the online stream, I want you to say these four with me, because I want to try to drill these down into our brain and into our heart so that when we're done with it today, we can still remember these things and apply it to be able to actually have a better and happier life. So would you say these four things with me? Ready? Here we go. Less is more. Stress is bad. Giving is good. Tomorrow matters. Say it again with me. Less is more. Stress is bad. Giving is good. Tomorrow matters. Do you believe that? I hope you do. We have to understand that this is here for a reason. Now, one of the questions I get sometimes is, Mark, what do you think in our day and age, in our society, what is one of the things that we struggle with the most, that we do that we really shouldn't do? And the same answer always comes up in my mind. Instant gratification. We live in a society, we live in a world, we live in the 21st century where instant gratification just is like, we want it and we want it now. So let me like give you an example. If I were to take my phone and I were to text you and I send you the text, do you know what I'm going to do next? I'm going to sit there and I'm going to look at my text and I'm going to wait to see if I see these three little bouncing balls or bubbles or whatever you want to call them to see if you're texting me back. And when I don't see that from you, you know what happens? All of a sudden I get a little irritated because I'm like, I didn't send you an email. I sent you a text. And I know that everybody, when their text goes off, they immediately look at their text. You should respond. And when I send you a text and you do not respond, I don't see those little bubble things down. I get like mad. I get furious. Like, come on. You're wasting my time. Right? And I'm sure you're probably that way too. Right? Sometimes we get that way. Let's look at another analogy. Maybe you're at home and you want to watch, I don't know, Hulu, Netflix, something like that. You want to watch a TV show or a movie, and you're watching it, it starts it, and then all of a sudden, partway through, it stops. And you see this little death spiral thing saying, buffering, buffering, buffering. And you're like, it's the 21st century. We shouldn't have buffering. I want to see it now. I don't want to wait for the next 20 seconds for it to buffering. I want to see it right now. Instant gratification. That's what happens. That's what we do. And then I'm thinking about Amazon. Woo! You hit click to order something on Amazon, right? And what happens next? You're like, oh, I got to wait for 2 days for them to bring it to me. Come on. Did you know, I don't know if you, many of you probably have known this, but they've been researching and trying to do it now in 1 day. They're spending billions of dollars to get it to you in 1 day. Even that seems too long, right? I just hit click. It should be on the door right now. Where in the world are they? That's the way we are in a society. We're like, we want everything now. We want everything now. We're that way in our relationships. We're that way with our bodies, right? I want to lose weight. I want to get buff. I don't want to go to the gym. I don't want to eat right. I'm gonna order that stuff I saw online that if I take this pill, I'll just like tomorrow morning, the fat will just, I'll wake up and it'll be gone and I'm just going to be buff and it's going to be awesome. And some of you have done that. And the only thing you lost was your money. You didn't lose any weight. No. And you're like, what happened? You see, we have these things where we want it now, but sometimes it doesn't work. And I think that is something that we in our society, in our culture, in our world, we just are not. We just don't have a time to wait. We want stuff now, instant gratification. We also want this with our finances. You can look it up yourself, but when you look it up, you're going to find out 76%. 76% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck, which means 76% of Americans that are living paycheck to paycheck, if they were to lose their job this week, they would not be able to pay their rent or their mortgage for next month. 76% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. So let me just kind of break it down for you here. In whatever venue you're in, if you are sitting in a row of, let's say, 8 people, that means out of the 8 people in your row, 6 of them are living paycheck to paycheck. 6 of the 8 people in your row that you're sitting in right now, if they lost their job, would not be able to pay their rent, buy food, or anything this next month. That's scary. And let me tell you, that 6 out of 8, you may be one of them. Don't just look at people around you. You may be one of them. 76% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. There's a problem. We are thinking about today only. We're not thinking about tomorrow. But yet tomorrow matters. We've got to learn, how do we handle what God has given us the right way? And we've talked about this the last couple of weeks. You know, when we were born, we came out with nothing. It was just us, right? There was no money that came out. It was just us. When we die, we're not taking anything with us. So basically, everything you and I have in this life is God's. It was here before we came, and when we die, it's going to be left here. So what we have in this in-between time on this planet while we are here is all God's, and we're just simply stewards of what he has. We do not own it all. So how do we handle the things that God allows us to have in this in-between time between birth and death? How do we handle these things? Well, let me give you a verse. It tells us this in Proverbs 21:20. It says this, the wise, say wise, the what? Wise, have wealth and luxury. But what's the next word? But what? Fools spend whatever they get. The wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get. Can I tell you? This is kind of offensive. We want to be called the wise. We don't like to be called fools, but yet 76% of Americans would fall into that category. They spend whatever they get. And all of a sudden, this is not living wise. Can I ask you to answer a question? I don't want you to answer it out loud. I don't want you to raise your hand. I want you to answer it inside yourself. Which one are you? In that verse, would you be the wise or would you be the fool? And some of you, at least probably 76% of you, would be in that foolish category. And you don't want to be, you don't want to acknowledge that. But we got to be real. We got to be honest. You're in that situation for because of purpose and a reason, because you haven't done anything to get out of it. Today we're going to talk about how to get out of this. We're going to talk about what God says to do. 76% would fall in that foolish category. And you're like, ow, that hurts. I don't want to be called a fool. Well, wait, it gets better. In Proverbs 6, there's this interesting little verse. And God is saying this. He says, go to the ant. Now, not your aunt and uncle. It's talking about the little bug, the ant, like at a picnic. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Oh, geez, I'm a fool. Now I'm a sluggard, for crying out loud. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It, meaning the ant, it has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and it gathers its food at harvest. In other words, look what God is saying. God is going, look at, seriously, you want to learn from a stupid little bug, an ant. He's not eating everything he has. This little bug that has nobody over him, doesn't have a king, doesn't have a president, doesn't have any government over him. This little bug by himself knows. He's smart enough to realize, I need to store stuff away for winter so I have food. I don't just eat everything right now and then figure out later on. I'm going to do it right now. And God's going, look at this ant, you sluggard. And you're like, okay, God, enough with the pep talk. I mean, I'm a fool. I'm a sluggard. I mean, come on. These are like hurtful words. But God is trying to get a point to us. Look at, you are not handling it right, God's telling us. He says, you got to do it better. Well, God, I don't know. How am I supposed to do better? I don't know what to do that is supposed to be better. Well, let me give you something. In Scripture, in Matthew 25, there's a passage where Jesus is speaking and he's giving a parable. A parable is a made up story with a spiritual point. And so Jesus is giving this parable, and it's called the parable of the talents. But really, talents was another word back then for money. And so Jesus is given this made-up story at the spiritual point about money. And what the story was about this. There is a ruler that at one time gathered three of his servants together and says, look, I'm going to be going away for a long time. And he says, I want to give you guys some stuff to take care of. And so to the first one, he gives five bags of money. To a second servant, he gives two bags of money. And to the last one, he gives one bag of money. And then he takes off on his trip for a long time. The first servant took the five bags that his master gave him, and he invested it, and he got five bags more. The second one took the two bags that he got, and he invested it and got two bags more. So both of them doubled. The last guy who got one bag took the bag, dug a hole, put it in the ground, covered it up, and left it there. Long time later, the master comes back. The master comes back and calls them in, and he says, hey, you guys, I want to find out what you guys did. So I gave you five bags of money. What did you do with it? And he says, I invested it, and now I've got 10. And you got to read the story. It's amazing because Jesus says that the master is going, well done. Awesome. That's great. You doubled it. Well done, good and faithful servant. And then he turns to the next one and says, okay, I gave you two bags of money. What did you do with it? He goes, I did the same thing. I've invested it. And all of a sudden, I went from 2 to 4. I doubled it. Well done. Good and faithful servant. That's awesome. Then he turns to the third one. What'd you do with the one bag I gave you? And he goes, well, I know you're a hard master. And so he said, I took the one bag you gave me. I dug a hole and I put it in the ground. And so I just dug it up when I heard you're back. And here's your one bag back. And you got to read it for yourself. I'm paraphrasing. Here's what Jesus said. The master says, you wicked servant. You knew I was a hard master. And you buried it in the ground. Why didn't you at least deposit it in the bank so I can get a little bit of interest off of it? And then he says this. Now listen to this. And sometimes we hear this last part of the story that you're talking about, and we think, boy, that's just mean. That's not right. But the master said, take the one bag from this one guy and give it to the guy who now has 10 bags. Because those who have much will get more. In other words, we're going, well, that's not fair because this guy only had one and now he doesn't have anything. This guy has 10. Now you're giving him the one. He's got 11. That doesn't seem fair. But when you look at it in a different way, when you look at it back in Malachi 3:10, in the Old Testament, it talks about God tells us to tithe, that 10%, right? And he says, when you do this, I will open up the floodgates of heaven to where you will not contain, be able to contain the blessings that I give you. Now think of that verse and connect that to this story. This guy is not handling the master's money right. And so he's saying, take it from him and give it to the one who can handle money the way I've told him. You see, you got to stop and think about that. God speaks a lot, and we've talked about this the last couple weeks. God speaks a lot about finances and money, and actually when you look in Scripture, there's more about finances and money than it is heaven and hell can buy. Why? Because God knows that money is always going to be a problem and an issue for us. Always. And so we look in Scripture, and we see what God is talking about finances. So how do we handle our money? There's two thoughts about how do we make money. Well, first one is this. We work 40 hours a week, and then we get a paycheck once a month or every 2 weeks. The second way is that we can put money to work for us. Now, what I'm not saying is it's either or. I'm saying it's both and. We work, earn money, and we take some of that money, and we make our money work for us. This is something that Scripture is very clear about. Scripture actually shows, and we're going to get to it in just a moment, Scripture actually shows three ways to invest. Did you know that God talks about investing? That's just crazy talk. God talks about investing in Scripture. And we're going to look at that. Now, let me tell you, some of you are like, oh, man, I'm going to zone out right now. Because, Mark, I don't understand investing. I mean, I've seen people who've done well in it, but I do not understand investing. And you know what? You're not the only one. There's so many people that do not understand investing. The reason why is because for some reason in our culture, in our society, they never teach investing in high school or college. I never learned that. Did anybody here learn it in high school or college? No. They don't teach that stuff. Why? Why is it that once we get out of high school and college and we get into the real world as adults and we have bills and jobs and all that stuff and babies and all that, why then are we supposed to try to figure it out when we're trying to figure out all this adulting stuff? Why didn't they teach us earlier? Well, God does. In God's word, God speaks about investing. Three different ways to invest. Now, let me tell you, I'm not going to pretend that I am a stockbroker or I work for Edward Jones or I'm not anything. I mean, I'm nothing like that. I'm not a professional investor. I'm not even a professional financer. I'm a pastor. And what I can tell you is, what does Scripture tell us about investing? Because God actually has something to say about this. So if you want to take notes in your note card, there's a note card in your program you got today or on our app, you can take notes. But here's the first thing you're taking. Three ways to invest according to Scripture. Number one is this. Never, let me say it again, never invest in things you don't understand. You never invest in things you don't understand. Let me give you a verse. The verse says this in Proverbs 24. It says, by wisdom, that means you understand, by wisdom a house is built. And through understanding, it is established. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. So look at that. Wisdom, understanding, knowledge. In other words, when we understand something, we invest. If we do not understand something, we do not invest. And if you do not understand, you either don't invest or you find somebody that can speak to you in layman's terms and make you understand. But if you still do not understand, do not invest. So many people have invested money in things they did not understand, and they've lost a lot of money. If you don't understand, talk to somebody. Talk to a stockbroker. Talk to somebody that works in that field that can help you to understand. But this is like the first thing God's calling us to do. He says, you invest in stuff you understand. If you don't understand, leave it alone. It will hurt you. Let me give you the second thing we see in Scripture. The second investing thing that God tells us is this. Never put your eggs in one basket. Did you know your grandma used to say that? Huh? Never put your eggs in one basket. Why? Because if you put all of your eggs in one basket, here's what's going to happen. If you accidentally drop that basket, you just broke all your eggs. If you invest in one thing and that thing tanks, guess what happens to you? You tank, right? So you don't ever put it in one basket. You spread it around. Let me give you a verse. In Ecclesiastes, it says this. It says, divide your investments. Divide. This is God speaking. It's amazing. God's saying, divide your investments among many places, for you do not know what risks may lie ahead. Divide your investments. Don't put them all in one basket. Separate them into two, three, four, five, whatever baskets, but don't just put them all in one. There's an analogy that kind of came to me this week that might help us to think of this. If you ever have been on like a farm, you'll see that oftentimes there's like a big pile of manure, right? It's a great thing to think about before you go to lunch. There's a big pile of manure. If you keep that big pile of manure in one pile, it's not going to grow anything. It's going to kill the grass and everything. It's going to kill it, and nothing's going to grow. But if you take this pile of manure and you spread it over the field, all of a sudden now it's fertilizer and things are growing. But so often when we give it into one place, it's like a pile of manure. It stinks. It's not going to grow. If that tanks, you're done. But when you use it as fertilizer and spread it around, it starts growing things. Yeah, maybe something over here dies and doesn't make, but all these other ones do. And so you're still farther ahead. Some of you at lunchtime are going to be remembering this analogy of manure. Now, I grew up on a farm, so that's what I'm used to, right? But this is a true thing. If you've never been to a farm, that's true. It has to be fertilized to have things grow. This will help us to learn to not just put it in one basket, but to diverse it all over. Let me give you something else. Third one. Don't try to get rich quick. Whew. Don't try to get rich quick. Do not do that. Can I tell you that there have been so many people that have been bit by this? Oh man, you got to jump into this thing. I mean, right now is the time you're going to make 20% more. You're going to make 40% more. You're going to double your money. That's amazing. Within a couple days, you're going to. Can I tell you? 1 Timothy says this. I love how some scriptures are just so honest. It says, "Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction." I have known people here at C3 that have fallen into this trap, that have fallen into ruin and destruction because of these get-rich-quick schemes. I remember when my wife and I were first married. We were just young newlyweds. And we had an apartment, and there was a guy and his wife that lived next door that were part of our church at the time. And they invited us over for dinner one night. And so we went over and had a great dinner at their house and good conversation. But towards the end of the evening, the shoe dropped. What he really was wanting to talk about was us to invest some money into something that he thought was a sure thing that would be one of those get-rich-quick schemes. He talked, but have you ever heard somebody talk about something and it just doesn't really make sense? They're kind of like talking in circles. It's like something he's trying to explain to me, trying to sell me on, and it's just not making sense. And finally, after, oh man, it was a good hour and a half probably that he was talking, I finally said to him, I said, you know what? I'm not going to invest in that right now, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be watching you. I want to see if you're doing this and stuff, you know, after down the road, I may invest then, but I want to watch and just see, but I'm not going to jump in. And you probably already know the answer. Within about 4 months, they were bankrupt because they fell for this gimmick. And I did not go to him and go, no, I didn't do that. It was tempting though. But that's why scripture tells us, hey, don't fall for these get rich quick schemes. Because you will more than often than not, you will lose. God warns us ahead of these things. Proverbs 13 says this. Proverbs 13:11 says this. Dishonest money dwindles away, but whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. It makes it grow. Now, do we do that? Do you Do you just live for today and pay everything right now and buy everything you want, and then you're like, oh, I don't get paid for another 2 weeks, so you just hold on for 2 weeks trying to wait for your next one, then you get that paycheck and you just spend it all? Or do you work to earn money and then put some of your money to work? Do we do that? Because let me tell you, it's not just about today. Tomorrow matters. Tomorrow actually matters. Let me give you something for your notes. It's a math equation. Money plus consistency plus time equals wealth. Let me say it again. Money plus consistency plus time equals wealth. When we work, earn money, we take a percentage of that money, and we consistently, every month, put some more into investing. And over time, our money, with consistency giving, over time, begins to grow. This is something from Scripture. This is something from life. But God was the one that first started this. Now, let me share something real quick as we wrap up. Something that if you're a regular C3er, I probably talked with you about this two different times. Every time we talk on finances, I usually try to bring it up. The reason why I do this is because I'm the CRO, I'm the chief reminding officer. I want to remind people of things. And so here's the thing. I want to remind us once again of this thing called the 10-10-80 principle. First 10% goes to God. Now, some of you say, well, I can't tithe 10%. I'll give 5% or whatever. That's great. Start wherever you can. But when Scripture in Malachi 3:10 talks about tithing, it's talking about 10%. When you tithe that 10%, then the floodgates of heaven are open. So 5% is a 20th. It's not a 10th. So that doesn't work for that. God's saying only when it comes to that 10th. So tithing, 10%, is honoring God. Why? Because it's a way for us to be reminded that I'm not God, He is. I did not come with anything. I will not leave with anything. It's all His in the in-between time. I'm just a steward of it. And so we honor God. That's why we give 10%. And remember, we believe that 90% that is blessed goes farther than 100% that's not blessed. So the first 10% goes to God. The second 10% then would be save and invest. And you're going, whoa, time out, Mark. You were just talking about investing. What's the saving thing? Well, if you've ever gone through Dave Ramsey's stuff, he talks about you should always have an emergency fund. If your car breaks down, you can get it fixed. If part of the shingles blow off the house, you can get it patched. You know, instead, if you have it all in investing, it's going to take you a while to get it out of that, whereas if you have an emergency fund saved up in the bank, you can just grab it out of there and get the car or the roof fixed, whatever you need. So you save up an emergency fund, then I would say you start investing in your money. And then you have 80% to live off of. So 10 to God, 10 to investing and saving, and then 80% to live off of. Can I tell you that people here in C3 that I know that have been doing this over time, some of them will go more. They'll say, I'll give 20%, 10 for tithe, and 10, anything over above, is an offering to God for the mission of the church to reach the Tri-Cities, so that people that are dying do not have to go into eternity away from God. And so they give more for the mission of what we are trying to do. And then they'll probably, some of them have given like 20% then to investing, and then they just live off of 60. I actually know two families, I won't mention them, but two families that actually give to the mission of Jesus Christ 50%, and they put 30% into investing, and they have 20 that they live off of, because the more they got wealth, they don't need that big a percentage to live off of anymore. And so this is what God does. God blesses us when we handle it the right way. This is how we do it. Now, why? Because when we honor God and handle it His way, it's not just about today. We realize that tomorrow matters. And speaking of tomorrow, I want to kind of segue back into something that we talked about at the beginning. In each of your venues right now, you saw right after the music, the announcement time, you saw that we're looking at doing something this next year. We always do from this Sunday, right before Thanksgiving, to the end of the year, we do what's called a radical generosity offering. And we always split it 50-50, half to an outside need in the community or around the world, and then the other half for an inside need. The outside need we're looking at is we're looking at funding a church being built in Guatemala. Now, I don't know if you've been to Guatemala. Me and Jason and Aaron, a couple of our staff guys, about a month ago, we flew down there. And we landed in Guatemala City, which is about 3.5 million people. So it's like, you know, it's just huge. But when you get out in the hill country, they do not have what they have in the city. In the hill country, they have no running water. They have no electricity. They've got homes with just boards with openings where the rain and the wind can come in. It's just, it's not good. And what we find in the hill country where all these people live is they 80% are unemployed. Get your brain around that. 80% are unemployed. 8 out of 10 children are malnourished. And so while we were there, we were with a group, some of you maybe have heard of a Compassion International, a Christian organization. And we were going around looking at sites on where we could build a church over there. And there's a little church in a place called Coban with a few thousand people within walking distance could come to this place. And what we want to do is we want to build a church there because they are ripe for knowing Jesus. Something about Guatemala the last few years has just really opened up to Christianity. And so we want to go and take it to a place that just really hasn't had that yet. And so we want to build a church there, but on the church, we're going to have some classrooms. So during the week, it's a school for the kids. When the kids will come to the school, they will be learning stuff, normal stuff in school, but we're also, as they get older, going to be training them in how to get a job, where they're going to learn computers, they're going to learn sewing, whatever they do there. And we're going to help them with that so that we can turn the tide. Also, every day of school, they're going to get fed food. Also, they're going to get some nutritious stuff to help them with their health because there's really no health at all as far as hospitals, doctors, things like that. So there's going to be a health piece to this thing. So this is what we're looking at doing to try to change that culture, change the unemployment, change these malnourished kids. And normally what we do is when we do this offering between Thanksgiving to Christmas, we divide it 50-50, half out, half for the inside church need. We're not going to do that this year. We're going to say, because to build this place, now this is going to sound ridiculously cheap, but it's just right around $80,000. I'm going to tell you, $80,000 over there will build this building and this school. Remember, they have no electricity or water, so it's going to be like cinder block, because everything else there is that way. But it will build a building there. It wouldn't build anything here, but it would build something over there. And so we want to make sure that the first money gets to that. Anything after that, then it'll go to the church's inside need. But this is really our priority, is to try to get this church going so we can just change the culture and change the people there. Hope that you'll be a part of that. You know, our calling as a church and as fellow followers of Jesus Christ, if you are, is to love God and love people. And that means loving people here in our church, in our community that don't know Christ, and around the world. And I'm so glad that we here at C3, we are such a generous people. I mean, when I see almost 400,000, I mean, and that was just last week. We're not even done with the year yet. We're going to be giving more stuff away this year. We are a very generous church, and I thank you so much for being a part of that, because tomorrow matters, not just for us, but it matters for those people over in Guatemala. Will we pray? So, Father, right now as we wrap up our time, God, you're an amazing God. You're a good God. And we thank you that you care for us and you tell us everything. You don't keep anything hidden from us. You even tell us how to invest. How crazy is that? Lord, I thank you for these verses that you shared with us today, that you put in the Word, that we could read and understand and apply. And Lord, I just pray right now because, again, 76% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. So, Lord, I'm not assuming that everybody here is great with their finances. I know that there's probably about 76% of people here today or online that are upside down financially. If they were to lose their job, they wouldn't know how to pay for their rent or their mortgage. They would be just upside down. Lord, I pray that something about this whole series and specifically today would speak to them, that you would help those that have got into that struggle. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless them and help them. And I pray, Lord, that they would listen to what your word says and to apply and do, even though it seems countercultural sometimes, may we apply and do what you've called us to do. And see, Lord, if you really don't open up the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that we can't contain it. So, Father, I just pray that you'd bless each person here and help them in that way. Father, today, even though we're talking about investing and finances, Lord, we also really realize that there's a debt that we owe, and it's a sin debt. But Jesus, you came to pay that sin debt. You died, to pay the penalty for our sin so that we don't have to pay for that debt for all eternity. We can now accept what you did. We can come into relationship with you. And that relationship starts now throughout the rest of this life and on into eternity. And so, Lord, right now there are some that are bowing their heart and they're saying, God, I have this sin debt and I need you to forgive it. Would you forgive me of my sins? Would you fill me with your presence? Would you help me to apply these things we've talked about? Would you help me to live differently and to honor you? Father, I thank you for those that are making that decision right now. It happens every week here, and we celebrate that every week. And we say thank you, God. In your amazing name we pray.